Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about the eclipse that's going to be happening tomorrow. And again, some of the Christian community is totally engaged with predictions of what's going to take place tomorrow. I've watched a part of a video, I didn't watch all of it, how it's going to have something to do with the red heifer that's been, the red heifers that have been sent over to Israel, and how it's going to make this line and this cross and all that across Texas. And many have bought into this thing. And I'm not saying this in a way that, but, you know, the eclipse, it will be spectacular. Listen, for those that are into such things, I think it's something that doesn't happen quite often, like it's going to happen tomorrow. And if you, even in Amarillo, you'll be able to see it. But, you know, there's such things that a lot of just buy into, and they say certain things that I don't believe will take place. And one of those things is talking about how it's going to have to do with the return of the Lord and the rapture, Jesus' return. And I literally think, I don't think so. And I'm going to tell you, because I've found some things out. That there's always somebody out there trying to drum up something that they predicted. And you know, you can go back to 88 reasons why we're not going to be here in 88. And we're here right now, right? We've had so many things over the Sabbath that was supposed to take place a couple of years back, you know, countdown to Jerusalem, and a lot of things that are out there today that are said, and literally, and we, even when it came to the election in 2020, there was a lot of things that were said that, you know, Trump's going to have those 4 years, and it's talking about consecutively, now we're going to say, hey, 4 years later, whatever. You know, rewriting, rethinking what's spoken. You know, sometimes we just buy into this stuff and we never give it a thought or even say anything to the person when it doesn't come to pass. Now, if I'm wrong that Jesus is coming tomorrow, that's no big deal, right? If he shows up, y'all have to forgive me because we'll all be in heaven. But I'm just saying, sometimes we buy into a lot of this stuff that happens, and you know, and it gets me many times, is because we're so quick just to run to this and so quick to run to that and so quick, and then we never hold them responsible for the words that they're saying. And we call them great prophets. And I get things all the time that says, go listen to this video or that video. And I'm thinking, I'm listening to that. But literally, that person does not know when the Lord's coming back. And I'm just thinking, you know, the word says a prophet, when a prophet says something, that thing comes to pass. When things are spoken, and when I have to twist the scripture, and when I have to make codes of here, and I have to make everything line up, well, if we just move this over a little bit like this, we got something to preach. That's not the way the Word of God works. See, I'd much rather be stable in what the Word of God says than trying to twist it around to say what I want people to hear. And I think we live in a time like that right now, and the Bible says there'll be many of them out there like that. But what gets me is how the sheep go, whew, and go, whew. And then they go to their pastor and they say, you need to get involved. And I'm thinking, no, I don't. And so I guess what I'm saying today is that, you know, in Ephesians 4, it says this, that Jesus gives pastors and teachers to the church. And it is to prepare them for ministry, but it also says this, that is to prepare us that we're not falling for every little cunning thing out there or every little trickery thing the devil says. In other words, what it talks about is that we get grounded in the Word of God. And I think sometimes getting grounding in the Word of God is boring to some people. Being consistent in what God's Word said becomes boring sometimes to them, to where they're looking for the gold dust. They're looking for the angel feathers. I heard one time that a church, that when they were meeting together, there was feathers that were coming down and they were calling them angel feathers, and people were just flocking in. And come to find out, there were some pigeons that had got into the AC system and their feathers were coming out. I'm just saying that's how quick we flock to stuff, or how fast we go to these things, and then we start spending money on books. And how many times have you read the title, Countdown to Jerusalem Revised? You know why it's revised? Is because they missed the first one. And how many times have we heard something about a special Sabbath? I had a few years ago, someone came up to me and handed me a book, says, we need to read this because this is taking place. And I went back in my library and gave them one that was written in 98. 15 years prior to that one. So I'm just saying today, a lot of times we go after things, and when we're grounded in the Word of God, we can stay grounded to where these things don't shake us up. Yes, it's going to be a spectacular event tomorrow. And, I it's going to be something that you probably won't see again in your lifetime. And I get that. But why do we always have to connect it? Why does the church always have to connect it somehow and say, Jesus is coming? I got news for you. He is coming. But not tomorrow. And again, if I'm wrong, y'all forgive me in heaven. He is coming. I'm grounded in the fact that I know that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. I'm grounded in the fact, what I ground myself in is not what someone says, or I'm grounded into what the Bible says about Jesus is coming back. And He literally is coming back. And I just want to look at a passage of Scripture this morning for a few moments that speaks of that very thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. It's been about 10 years since I preached this particular a passage of Scripture. But I think we need to be reminded, if you're like me, listen, if you're like me, I have to hear something more than once. And I actually have to speak it. You know, sometimes when I meet somebody for the first time, I don't know what about my brain or what it is that if I don't say their name over and over again, I forget who they are. You say, that's because you're old. No, I've been doing that for quite some time. It's the same thing with the Scripture. I forgot that, who that was. But Peter said, I'll stir up your, in remembrance is what he spoke of. He says, I got to stir in remembrance. That says we go over things. That's how we learn. We go over things over and over again. And so when things like this come up, immediately, you know what? I go to 1 Thessalonians. I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it speaks of the fact of when the Lord is coming. Because you got to be grounded. We got to be grounded in such things. It says in this passage, but I do not want you to be ignorant. Ignorance is not a bad word. It just says you don't know about the topic. He says, I want you to be educated on the topic. Brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Are you ready for that day? With the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. In this passage of Scripture, we find Paul addressing some false teachings that's going on in the church. The false teaching that was happening is they were telling the church, they've come into the church, these leaders or so-called teachers had came in and told them that the resurrection had already taken place and that their loved ones are just going to stay in the grave because they have not come up. And so they were really messing with their minds. And you know what Paul did? He didn't say, well, I kind of buy into that. Let's wait for the book to come out and let's read it. And I think it's a good theory, a good thought. No, Paul took them to what God would say about the situation. He took them to the Word of God. My friend today, if we're gonna stay firm, we've got to bring situations back into what the Word of God says. The Word of God is not so difficult that we cannot understand it. I'm going to tell you, we can understand the Word of God because we have been saved. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And what we don't understand, He will enlighten it to us if we will but search it. And Paul brings them back. Do you not remember what I have said? What is important about Paul? Paul had a one-on-one with Jesus on all the things that he had written, and he had written it down, the epistles that we read. He got teachings that were even deeper than what Peter could understand because God had revealed things to him. And he said, let me tell you about the resurrection. Let me speak a little bit about what's going to take place. Let me enlighten you a little bit about the subject that's got you all messed up. And he says this in this passage. He wanted to get them grounded and established in the Word of God. Can I tell you, there's nothing boring about being grounded. Amen? If you're really grounded in the Word, there's a lot of things that the Word has. Oh, we can believe for miraculous things. We can believe for healing. Man, we can believe for people's legs to all mend back together. We can believe for blind eyes to open. We can believe for deaf ears to open. Why? How do you get that, Pastor? No, I'm not just saying this hoping. I'm saying it because it's in the Word of God. If we're grounded in the Word of God, it's not boring, my friend. Sometimes it can be even exciting when God calls you to go a place that nobody else would go. And he says something like, trust me. The Word of God is never boring. But it's something that's good for our heart and our soul. Listen, he says this. He wants to establish the right thoughts in this passage. And the thing that he says, the Lord is coming back for his church. And what he's basically saying, listen, he has not came, but he's coming back. He has not arrived, but he's coming back. He's wanting to get them to understand that, yes, those that are in the grave, he wants to bring comfort. He says that in that last verse. He said, let these words comfort you. Why would he say that? He says it because they were losing. They thought it was no hope for their loved ones that had died because they're still in the grave. And he was trying to bring comfort into their life, letting them know there's still hope for those that are laid to rest in the name of Jesus Christ. He says there's hope. He's bringing comfort to them. He's trying to change the way they're thinking. We read in John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And listen to what he says. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's written to those that believe in the Lord. He gave it to the disciples. He was fixing to depart. He was fixing to go to the cross of Calvary. And he says, listen, where I go, you may go also. I'll come and get you. Even though the Thessalonians knew he was coming, they needed a deeper understanding of what was about to take place. You see that they thought those who had died in Christ would not see him because they had been told he had already came. Listen, there's comfort knowing he is coming. He is coming. There's comfort knowing that he's coming. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to have some peace or comfort. And look, that's what it spoke of in verse 18. You know, when we think about the whole passage there, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but we find it assures us of a reunion with our loved ones in verse 17 in that passage. How many of you know we got a reunion that's truly going to take place in the sky? I'm looking forward to that day. How about you? That day that we get to see our loved ones that have passed on, my, what a time. We could have all eternity just to catch up. It's going to be a wonderful time. There's assurance in that. There's comfort, he says in verse 17. It announces that some will not have to experience death. I'm excited about that. I want to be in that group. Three of you do. I want to be in that group that does not have to die. But the Bible says, either in verse 17, he says, not everybody's going to have to die. Some of us, if we're still around when the trumpet sounds, we will be changed in a moment, in an instant, and we will be gone. We will get our resurrected body just like that. And we don't have to be put in the ground. Man, I want that. I'm going to write a book so y'all can buy the book about it. But it's going to be a good thing. It's going to be wonderful. You know, you've ever played that rapture trick on somebody? We had a man that worked for us And while me and another Christian friend of mine that was working there, his name was David Ashworth. And we had this man, he was named as Tim. And he had long hair, and he was pretty wild at that time. And Dave and I, we're Christians, and we wanted to play a trick on him about the rapture. Because we told him, we're going to be out of here one of these days. And so we put a pile of clothes there and made him think we were gone. I'm just saying it's going to happen one day. It's going to happen to those that believe. And we're not all going to die. Because when the trumpet sounds, all the Christians that remain are there will be changed in an instant, in a moment. I know it sounds like some scientific fiction movie, but let me tell you, this is the Word of God that says it. I was a little disappointed. How many of you remember Mark Striplin or know him? Remember back in, was it March 30 of some year, the Lord was supposed to come back? Y'all remember that, the billboard out there? That's just stuff we forget in the past that people have made such a big deal out of. And Mark Striplin, he called me the next day, and he says, you know, I'm just calling some people that I felt that are spiritual, and I know that if they were here, that the rapture had not taken place. And I'm thinking, well, I feel pretty good. He considered me so spiritual that he would call me. And then he says, is Robin there? And I thought, oh boy, yes. Hook. But that's how serious, I mean, we think about it, and truly that's what's going to take place. It also announces the fulfillment of John chapter 14 when we talk about Jesus coming back. There literally is a place built for you. And we sang the song, I've got a mansion over the hilltop. There is a place that's there. You know, sometimes we are all wrapped up in the retirement years here on this planet Earth. But let me tell you today that what we have here will perish, it will burn. But what we're building up there, my friend, will last for eternity. And Jesus says, well, if I go there, I'm going to come back for you. And 1 Thessalonians speaks of the same thing. I'm coming back for you. Hallelujah. It's a fulfillment of a promise in John chapter 14 is when Jesus comes. It's going to be a wonderful, great time. Hallelujah. I'm trying not to get excited. It relieves us of fear. Come on, when we think about Jesus is coming for us, it relieves us of the fear of destruction, of nuclear holocaust, and all this stuff. You know, right now, we've got so much stuff going over in the Middle East. We've got Israel accidentally bombed some Iranian leaders, and now Iran, who may have nuclear bombs now, are saying we're going to get even. We know Israel's got nuclear bombs, and there's a lot of people, what are we going to do? I got news for you. My Savior's coming back for me regardless. If I breathe my last breath, I'm going to be with Him for eternity. There's no reason to get all fearful. How many remember? I know some of the younger ones won't remember this, but back in our day, if it was going to be something bad happening, we were told to climb under our desk. A little bitty metal desk with a wood top's going to protect us from a nuclear bomb. You know, all they were doing was making you feel comfortable. Making you where you're not fearful. But can I tell you, when we really get a hold of the rapture and Jesus coming back, we should let all fear go. I know this world. The Bible says evil is going to get worse. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord says also the Holy Spirit will be poured out at the same time. But not only that, He's coming back for His church. Hallelujah. We can let all fear go to the side. God has not lost control of this universe. He's still in charge. It's like that mama. All the kids seem like going all over the house and all that, and all of a sudden she just raises her voice and they all just settle down. How many of you got a house like that? They know mom's voice. It's like the Lord. One day He's going to shout with the sound of an archangel. And everything's going to start changing because of our God. Woo! Hallelujah. How many are ready to hear that shout in the White House? in Congress. Come on now. I'm just saying, are you ready to hear the shout? It's not out of control. He will bring it back like he said it. He will bring it. Because that's who God is. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God will triumph, and it's going to triumph. Next part is, his coming is still certain, yet not predictable. We got to understand, we understand that he's coming, but we also got to understand that his coming is coming, but we can't predict it. It's not predictable. All the things I mentioned earlier, listen, there's been man after man after man trying to predict the coming of the Lord. But there's another sad thing that's happening also, is that the church, the Christians, are getting to where they don't believe that the second coming is going to take place. That they don't believe in the rapture. They don't believe in this. I was talking to a pastor's wife the other day, and we have an acquaintance, and I knew him, and I remember he told me, because he was raised up in the Assembly of God church, and he kind of went wayward a little bit, so when out late at 2 o'clock at night, he would call the pastor's house. And he says, I knew if the pastor answered the phone, because he'd be all concerned that the Lord had come while he was being a bad boy. And he would call the pastor's house, and he knew that if this pastor answered the phone, the rapture had not taken place. And that was back before caller ID. It's just when you answer the phone at your own risk. Just answered it. Hello? But all these years later, this pastor's wife had mentioned about the second coming, and that guy that used to do that at night now says, you still believe that stuff? You still believe that he's coming? Of course, she said, being a pastor's wife, said, yes, I do. But can I say today, there's a lot of people today that are saying that the second coming, there's not much preaching on it, there's not much preaching on the rapture, and there's a lot that are saying that this is not going to take place. There's so much mixed up preaching out there today that says we're in the middle of the tribulation. Can I tell you, this is not anything close to the tribulation. And there's those that would say that it's already taken place. Listen. In 2 Peter 3, it says this. This is common because it says it'll be like this. Knowing this verse, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And listen to what it says in the next verse. It says, but they forgot about the flood. Can I tell you today, the flood was a real thing. They find seashells and fish bones on mountaintops. They find some things that they can't explain because this whole world was flooded. And what they were saying, God has not interrupted the world. Yes, he has. Now, they willingly say that did not take place. But can I tell you today, God interrupted during the flood. That was at the first 2,000 years of man. And God has a way of interrupting still. And we all know what Noah was doing before the flood. He was preaching the coming and getting right with God. And everybody ignored him, and it sure enough happened. I'm going to say today, we know as a church, and we should know as believers, that God is going to interrupt this world another time. Amen. He's going to interrupt it one more time. I thank God that he's going to do it. But there are some that are getting to where they don't think the Lord's going to come. They said, I've heard preaching all my life. That's all right. That's what you need to hear. That's what I need to hear. I need to keep believing it because he will. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, it says this, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they do not escape, who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has a promise saying, yet once more, listen to that, once more I shake not only earth, but I also shake heaven. There is coming a moment of shaking. It's coming toward the church. It's coming toward the world. There's going to be a time. Who wrote that? God wrote that. We just read that as a church as we've been going through reading the New Testament. There is coming another shaking on this earth. And what's happening right now is just as the same way as many of the people when they go by Noah, the preacher of righteousness, and they say, "Oh, you goofball, get out of the way. This ain't happened." It's been the same way all this time for the last 2,000 years. And one day they're walking and all of a sudden they get a raindrop on their head. And they think, "What is that?" Because see, it didn't rain back then. It watered from under the ground. And then another raindrop. And then thunder and lightning in heaven gave open all that outer atmosphere that had a sphere that had the water in it. All that water dumped at one time and all the water from underneath came up at one time. And they're going, "We should have listened to the preacher." But guess where the preacher was? He was in the ark that God had created for him. That he got in and all the creation was in there protected. Why? Because they believed that there was coming an interruption. Folks, I'm telling you today, we don't have time to think there's not going to be a rapture. We can't have the doctrine in the church that says Jesus is not coming back. But I'm going to tell you, just as the same, we can't sit here and predict when it's going to happen. The scripture says we can't predict it. Listen what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." What are times and seasons? The times that we're in, the last days. You know when the last days started? The last days started when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And we're still in those last days. We're at a threshold of almost 2,000 years. If you study the history of God and what He's done, every 2,000 years He's done something significant in man's history. First 2,000 years, we had the flood. Second 2,000 years, He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross of Calvary. I'm saying we're here. We know. We need to know the time and the seasons that we're living in. It says the spirit of the Antichrist will get stronger and stronger. And sometimes we think, "Well, we have no chance against it." I beg to differ. We're still busy about winning people to Jesus. We still have the power of God to be anointed and speak the word of God and see people. People come from death to life. We don't have to lay down and say this is how it's supposed to be. What I'm saying though, we see the times and seasons. This is not a time to be lukewarm in your walk. This is the time to be fervently hot for Jesus Christ. Because see, we don't know. We know the times. We know the seasons. We can say, "Okay, this kind of looks like things are going to happen." We can look at the way mankind treats one another and know that Jesus is on the horizon. But it says this about this particular moment. It says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." As a thief in the night. You know, a thief comes when you're not expecting it. I believe it was Thursday morning. I got my pickup, I raised the garage door. My garage, we bought a garage that is in the alley, the garage door is now alley, and I went back, backed up and then closed the garage door and looked there and someone had tagged my garage with spray paint. And bless their hearts, right? I have no light there, I have no camera there, but I got a light there and a camera there now. But I would, if I knew they was going to do that, I would have already had my light up and my camera, and I would have got them. I would have knew who they were. But I had no idea. It just totally surprised me. I let the garage door down. I think, "Okay, who painted my garage?" And then I thought, "God, you've seen it. You love them." So, hey, all I got to do is put some more paint on it, right? But the thing is this, and what it spoke of here, is that I would have known that. There's been times God has spoke to me about something that I didn't listen, and then I thought, I should have listened. I remember walking from my church in Sinet there, and we had this nice fancy barbecue grill outside, and the Lord spoke to me, "You need to roll that in." I thought, "Oh, that wasn't the Lord, that's just me." Guess what left that night? That nice fancy barbecue was rolled away. I'm just saying, I know there's times, but listen, What he's saying to the church right now is that we need to be ready at any moment. He's not going to give us the date. He's not going to give us the hour. But what he has told us, to be ready. Just like a thief's coming at night. I'm going to tell you, if they come back to paint my garage door, I'm going to have them on camera. I got a light that's going to blind them. Hallelujah. I'm just saying I'm ready for them. I don't know when they'll come, but I'm ready. Listen, we don't know when Jesus is going to come, and it shouldn't take some kind of solar eclipse to get me all prayed up and ready to go up. I need to be ready and prayed up to and ready to go up every day of my life. Amen. Got one. I'm just saying that's how important it is. We know the seasons that we're in. We're seeing things that we've never seen before. Unbelievable things. But I know this much, Jesus is on the horizon. See, the Bible makes it very clear we can't and aren't to know the exact time of his coming. And this passage in the verses in chapter 5 there speak of this very thing. And many have tried to predict over the years, but yet many have missed it. Amen? Many have missed it. We need to be ready for that moment. We find in chapter 5, verse 4 and 8, it says this, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness." Listen to what it says. We are not in darkness. What's that mean? I know what the Bible says. I have been enlightened by the truth of the living God. I know what it speaks of. I shouldn't be found unaware. "So this day shall not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of lights and sons of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, as a helmet, the hope of salvation, knowing he could come at any moment. We need to be ready." Amen? Knowing this. This should produce something in us, according to 1 John. It tells us that we, you know, it speaks that we should be ready, and we will be concerned for, you know, the state of ready to meet him, that we're ready, Pastor Olive, if you'll come this morning. You know, even in 1 Peter, it says this, "Knowing these things, how much of a holy life shall we live?" I'm saying today, I haven't got time. I haven't got time to be bitter at Megan. I love picking on my daughter. That cost me $5 just now. That's their rules. I never pay up, but that's what they try to tell me if you use me in a sermon. I haven't got time to be bitter at Jerry. There, that's a freebie. I haven't got time to be going down rabbit holes in my life that are ungodly. Why? Because I see the seasons that we're living in. Never before has our country faced what we're facing today. All the gender issues, all the things that are being told as normal. We've never seen the corruption that we see in our White House. If we did, it wasn't out on the open like it is today. I mean, as long as you got men, money, and power, you're going to have corruption. I don't care. We're just more evident of it today with all our social media and the things that go out there. We're just a little more aware of it. But never have this country been so ungodly. It's not only that. We have the wars that are taking place, the rumors, and we have all that network. Listen, the handwriting's on the wall, and it says Jesus is coming soon. I believe soon, soon, soon. And I believe that unless we're right, we don't have time to be living our life in a way that the Scripture speaks against. But I'm not going to be shook up about tomorrow. I'm not going to be shook up when someone says, "Hey, Jesus is coming on April the 8th at a certain time when that eclipse or whatever takes place." I'm not going to be shook up. Well, you know why? Because I'm grounded in the Word of God. And I also want to be grounded enough in the Word of God to know that Jesus could come at any moment. Listen, it doesn't have to be the rapture for him to come for you. He can come at any moment. Something may happen to you. It may be a car wreck. You may be in your 40s. You may be in your 30s. It doesn't matter. He can come. I love watching those commercials. I had, you know, the heart attack back in 2016. I watched that commercial last night. He says, talking about the guy that had his first heart attack and he's got another one on the way. And I'm going, well, great. But you know what? If Jesus comes for me, I want to be ready. Regardless whether it's the rapture or if this old body just quits ticking, I don't know. I mean, I want to be ready for the Lord. But I also want to be grounded in the Word of God. And when we're grounded in the Word of God, it brings comfort. That's what Paul says. I want to bring comfort to you. I want to comfort you, let you know that your loved ones have not been resurrected yet. Jesus is still coming. See, being grounded in the Word of God brings comfort into our lives. It brings comfort. I thank God for the time that I gave my heart to Him. Amen. And you know what? I wish I could tell you I'd been perfect. My wife would tell you, absolutely not. But none of us are perfect. Just because we get saved doesn't make us perfect. But we learn to walk and learn to let God restore us when we fall. We learn to trust Him and give all that we have.